talking about trusting God. Amen. When life hurts. Amen. When life hurts, how do you trust God? Amen. Thank you, ushers. Amen. And we've already established, amen, some things in the last 2 weeks on in this series. And I told you tonight, we're gonna go to the third part in this series, and we're gonna ask the question tonight: is God in control? Amen. Now, you've heard people say God is in control. I know God's in control. God's in control. But how do you know that God is in control, right? It's amazing, because when life hurts and when you face disappointment, amen, you'll find that you will be faced with a thought. You'll be faced with opportunities, and also you'll be faced with obstacles in the process of understanding who God is. Amen. Trusting God is not an easy thing to do. I'm going to say it one more time. Trusting God is not an easy thing to do. Let's just be real about it. You know, people just want to tell you, it's easy to trust God. No, trusting God is not an easy thing to do, especially when life hurts. Anybody got some hurts in your life tonight? Amen. And you're trying to say, man, you're telling me I got to trust God? In 1981, the widely acclaimed bestseller book swept the nation. Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote a book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Harold Kushner, though, presented God in such a way where he concluded that the author of the book of Job is forced to choose between a good God who is not totally powerful, or a powerful God who is not totally good. I'm going to say it one more time. He's presented God in the book of Job, amen, between God being a good God who is not totally powerful, or a powerful God who's not totally good. When you look at the life of Job and you look at what Job had went through, amen, you ask yourself a question, and there's always this one question: why? Amen. Have you ever asked the question, why is this happening to me? Come on, somebody. Amen. And if you're going to answer the question, is God in control, there are a few things that we need to learn about God. I think I'm only going to get to one tonight. All right? I think I can only get to one tonight, because God is such a big subject. Amen. But when we start talking about people who are living righteously, amen, it is difficult even to understand that when bad things happen to good people, amen, I gotta decode that, because there's nobody that's really good. Do I have a witness? Because the moment that you try to think that you're good, you put your goodness up against God's grace, and you'll find out you're not that good. Because it was God's grace that kept you even when you thought you were good. Do I have a witness? And so tonight we want to answer the question, trusting God, but is God in control? And how we can answer that question is first that we must understand that Rabbi Harold Kushner, he denies the sovereign control of God. That God is either good or he's not. Amen. Because when you look at circumstances that happens in your life, in our lives, cancer, accidents, chaos, hurricanes, come on somebody, tsunamis, pandemics, and you're wondering and you're asking the question, is God? Come on and help me, somebody. When life is falling apart, you ask yourself the question, is God anywhere? Marriage is not working out. Friendship ain't working out. Kids ain't acting right. Stuff just keep happening to you. You're wondering, when will it stop? Is God in control? Well, I want to answer that question tonight. And I want to tell you that, yes, God is in control. God is good and in control. Harold Kushner got it wrong. Amen. He got it a little wrong. He's trying to place God's goodness out of his grace. And also, here's the thing. God controls everything. And here's the one thing I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about, if you're going to understand if God is in control, the first thing you must understand is the doctrine of providence. All right. So I want to talk about the providence of God. What is the providence of God? The word providence comes from a Latin word, which comes down to a Greek word, paranoia. And the word means, essentially, the word means foresight or making provision beforehand. So in order for God to be in control, he has to know something, come on somebody, beforehand. Now, the Bible talks about that God created us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles. Go there to Psalm 139. Amen. I think I touched on this last week, but I have to touch it again. And the reason why I got to touch it again is because, when we think about, is God in control, and providence, the providence of God, that God knows things beforehand. It's not that he's a magician. It's the fact that God is in full control. But God exists in a realm that you and I will never understand until we get there. But you say, but look at all the stuff that's happening in my life. Why is things happening like this? Here's the thing. Those things that are happening in your life is supposed to happen. But here's the other thing you need to know. It is happening, but it's not happening without God knowing about it. And it's happening, watch this, under God's providence, so that God will provide what you need. Come on, help me, somebody, to make it through whatever you think you can't get through. I know you're saying right now, Pastor, it's difficult. You don't understand how difficult. I know someone who knows how difficult it is. And guess what? He can do something about it. Do I have a witness? Psalm 139 says, "Oh Lord, you have what?" All right. And what else? "And you know me." I'm sorry. Yes. "You have searched me and you what? You know me." What do you think that word "know"? The idea of the word "know" there is the idea not just to know you in the mind, but to intimately be acquainted with everything about you. God knows the next word. That's what this psalm talks about. The next word that comes out your mouth, the next thought, the next time you blink your eyes, God knows about it. So if God knows that, can you tell me why he's not in control? And a lot of people doubt the fact that he is in control because they're basing it on the experiences that they have in life. Listen, you can't bring God down to your level to say, listen, if you brought God down to your level, that ain't God. And if you're trying to get God to do something in your life, you can't get him to do nothing. Come on, help me. But what we can do, we can line up with his will and understand that he knows us. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, "You know when I sit down." God know where you was. God know where you're going, and God know where you're going to be. I thank God that he is in control. The fact that he knows where I'm going to be sitting next, not just in life, but for the rest of my life. Come on, somebody. Look what he said. He says, "When I sit down," when I what? "When I rise up," look at this, right? "You understand my thought." God ain't got to be close to know what you're thinking. Is God in control? The Bible says, and this is what the word says. He says, look what he said. He says, "You scrutinize my what? Path. Am I lying down?" You are. See, the intimacy that God has with us, the question I have for you tonight is, do you have the same intimacy with him? Is the level of intimacy the same Oh, come on, somebody. Or are you either running from God, trying to hide from God, trying not to be transparent with God? You might as well come clean because he knows anyways. But God wants an intimate relationship with his children. Do I have anybody? On the human plane, we find that God's providence links to God's sovereignty. Now, God's sovereignty, which I'll deal with that later on, means that God is and reigns over everything. Listen, sometimes it's hard to put it together. Sometimes it's hard to understand when life, come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. Every time you try, it seems like everything comes against you and you're wondering, God, why do I keep repeating the cycles that I keep repeating in my life? Why can't I get it? If God's in control, it's not God that's changing, it's you that's changing. Do I have a witness? It's not that God left you. The problem today with the popular use of the expression of the providence of God is that either we're unconsciously or deliberately implying that God only intervenes at a specific point in our lives. But that's not true. God intervenes all the time. You got to pay attention. Do I have anybody? And so, if you would, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 16 for me. Let's go to Proverbs 16. We're going to talk about the providence of God, right? The providence of God simply means that God is what? God has what? Foresight. Right? He sees, he knows, he understands. And I'm trying to help somebody. Life hurts right now, but you have to stop doubting and stop taking things in your own hands. You see, I could take you to the Proverbs 3. You know Proverbs 3, right? Some of you know the Proverbs, some of you don't know Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? You can quote it, but you can't live it. Come on, say amen. Proverbs 16 and 9 says what? The who? The mind or the heart of man does what? You got plans. But because of God's providence, what does he do? Huh? He directs your steps. Listen, the direction that your life is going in, you may have a plan, but God is the... Why do you think it didn't go the way you wanted to go? Because your plans didn't line up with his will. You understand what I'm saying? And look, you mad now, but you thought you you just gave up some stuff. God says, listen, I got you on a better path. Listen, you watching your friends on Instagram, you watching your friends doing stuff, and you're like, man, I wish I could do that. But God says, I got a better plan. See, it's not about the short game. It's about the long game. See, we got to learn how to think long view. We got to think about the future. Listen, don't want gratification now. Watch this. For satisfaction now when you forfeit your relationship with God. See, people start saying, God ain't good. Look what happened to my mom. Look what happened to my daddy. Listen, here's the bottom line. God has been good and will be good and will always look out for you. You got to understand, no matter how bad we treat him, no matter how much we turn our backs on him, God will continue to love you. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Thank God that he didn't give up on us. Thank God that he still keeps directing our steps. This is the providence of God. Watch this. The heart of a man or the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord, what? He directs his what? His steps. God directs our steps. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is Bible study. Romans, that means we got to read our Bible. We got to open it up. You know, listen, last night's lesson was off the chain. Listen. Is God in control? You just saw he directs your step. You saw that he knows your thoughts from afar, right? You saw this, right? And if you read the rest of Psalm 139, you'll find out that he formed you in your mother's womb. Before a word is in your mouth, he knows it. So when you dropped that F-bomb, he knew it was coming. Romans 8, 28. Watch this. Let's back up, though. Verse 26, context. In the same way, the Spirit also helps. Man, God is, you know what? You know when I look at God in the Bible, you know what I think about God? When I say he's in control, watch this. When I think about God babies us. Seriously, he literally goes out of his way to keep on. Listen, we can't stand on our own, y'all. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Word of God. He gave us grace. He gave us mercy. Come on, somebody, watch this. And God is so much in control that he doesn't mind babying you. You with me? But watch this. Sometimes we get too grown and we're like, I don't want to be under his. But guess what? There's nowhere you can go and he will not find you. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Friends will leave you. Come on, somebody. Family will turn their backs on you, but God will never. I'm going to say it one more time. He will never forsake you. Are you with me? Watch this. He says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. You see that? So there's an expectation here. The fact that we should be praying, I don't know what happened. I'm waiting for the day for Friday night to be packed in this place. Friday night is about prayer. If you only understand the value of Friday night, you would run to this house to pray. You know why? Because it is the most precious thing that you can do towards God, and that's prayer. Watch the text. He says we should pray. He said even when you don't feel like praying, know what to pray. Just you ain't getting it today. He says the Spirit, that's why I say he babies us. Watch this. The Spirit himself. Do you not know that the reason why you still standing today is because the Spirit of God has been interceding for you because you were tripping, man? Come on, say amen. And you were tripping with yourself, and then you start tripping with God. They ain't by nothing. The church ain't that. People ain't this. And God's like, Spirit, intercede. Spirit keeps saying, Lord, please, please, give him a break, Lord. Please, please, God, I'm begging you. And then you got Jesus who intercedes for you. And Jesus is like, look, my blood is covering. I know you're acting like a fool right now, but guess what? Guess what? Spirit, come on. You know what's happening down there. See, the Spirit intercedes like that. He brings the news to heaven. God gave you the Holy Spirit when you got saved. He's in you. He will never leave you. You may lose the filling, but you'll never lose the sealing. He's there. So you can go on and do what you do and all that kind of stuff, but you will once saved, always saved. I'm going to say it one more time. Once saved, always saved. So watch the text. The text says he intercedes for us, and this is why he groans, because he knows some of us. Look what he said. He said, with what? With groanings too deep for words. Listen, some of us are under so much grace, we don't even know it. Watch this. And he who searches the hearts knows the what? The mind of the Spirit. What the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for who? For the saints according. Man, listen. If that's not providence. If that, listen, God knows you're too lazy to pray. He already knows that. You think he didn't know you were going to, thank you, Lord. That's about the only time you spend with God. Some of you, not all of you. Thank you, Lord. And don't get paid. Payday is a different day. Payday, you forget all about prayer. You forget you a Christian. You're like, shoot, yeah. And then look, all the money gone, then you come back to pray. Pray for me. Boy, boy, let me tell you something. I see that cycle all the time. But watch this, though. Watch this, though. Watch this. He says, according to the will of God. Can I tell you something? God is in so much control of your life, and he's in so much control of this universe. Watch this. That everything is operating according to his will, even Satan. What God uses Satan to carry out his work. Come on, help me, somebody. Watch the text. He says, and we know. Verse 28. And we know. The question is, are you in that we category? Are you one of those people that understood or understands how much God is in control that you can say, and we know that God, now watch this, causes all things to do what? So, some of you traveled with me out of town a few times, and I've used an illustration where I brought the eggs, the flour, the milk, the sugar, and we put it all in the, and then we already bought a cake that was done, right? We wasn't going to bake in the pulpit, but I was illustrating that all these different parts, they're all different. Okay, watch this now. We know that God causes all things. Watch this. The good, the bad, the in-between, the whatevers. He pulls it all together. It's called synergism. That's what it's called. It's called pulling these parts together so that when it comes out as a whole. Watch this. Whatever you think that you're going through right now that you can't face, God says, I will take that. Watch this now. And I will cause your enemies to get along. I will take your good days and your bad days, and I'll have a meeting with both of them. Come on, somebody. And I will meet you in the middle of both of them, and it will be a greater day, not a better day. Do I have anybody? I'm going to take what the devil meant for evil, and I'm going to cause it to work. Who wouldn't serve a God who can take your worst? See, some of us don't understand. If you were to open your heart up to God, he could take all that junk out of you and start using it to work together for your good. Watch this. Your anger, for instance. Let's take your anger. God can take your anger and he can put it alongside, watch this, your beliefs, your righteous beliefs, or the cause that you want to live for. And he can turn it from mad, crazy anger to righteous anger and cause you to stand up and do something about the injustice that you have experienced in life. Some people have been through rape. They've been through being mugged. Some people have been through all kinds of bad tragedy. And out of that tragedy, out of that pain, watch this, came purpose. Because they did not allow the pain of the circumstance to dictate, come on somebody, to dictate the rest of their lives. They did not live in the pain of the moment. They took the pain, give it to God. He's in control. Watch this. And God took the pain and turned it into something that can be a blessing for somebody else. That's how much in control God is. So you think that because you've been through something, now you're feeding on the residue of what you've been through rather than saying, God, work it out for my good.
take that, what I've been through, take the pain, take the disappointment, take the depression, take the mishandling of my finances, the I got evicted, I got this, I got that, I couldn't keep it together. Learn from those experiences. Don't allow those experiences to change your character. See, a lot of times people take the negative, they feed on it, and they continue to feed on it. And when you meet them, how you doing? I'm doing bad. Man, that stuff was over 10 years ago. But you're still living in the pain. And I want to say to somebody here today, watch the God we serve. He says he causes all things. And when you see all things, it means all things, baby. It means the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between that. It says to work together for the good of those who what though? Who love God and those who are called according to what? His purpose. So there's a condition behind this promise. Here's the condition. Can I ask you a question? Harold Kushner asked, how can you love a God who causes all this evil? My question to you is, do you really love him? I'm talking about how do you love someone you don't see? See, you don't need to see God to love him. Just step outside. Look around for a minute. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And when you look around outside, you realize that there is a God and he is in full control. But the enemy will try to get you to focus so much on the bad that you're like, man, God ain't nowhere. God don't love me. Then we get into the pity party. If God loved me, then why? Watch this, watch this, watch this. Watch the text now, watch the text. He says, for those who love God and those who are called and living according to what? May I ask you a question? I know you got big plans. But have you included God in your plans? Let me ask you this other question. Is it his purpose that you're living for? Because if it's not his purpose, then what are you living for? Who are you living for? What's the purpose for living if you're not living for his purpose? Do I have somebody? Let me tell you something. Life apart from God is a terrible thing. Okay? And the beautiful thing about God is that no matter how much we mess up. Man, listen, grace is beautiful. Listen, I thank God for his grace, y'all. Listen, and I've experienced God's grace. I went to the period of grace, man. And that grace period, you think you got away with it. I'm going to say it one more time. In the grace period, you think you got away. You thought nobody saw you. Oh, I think I talked about that on Sunday. You thought nobody saw you. God saw you. But let me help somebody with something here. He's in so much control. God's providence. God's providence means that, watch this, that he has foresight. But look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, do you not know that God knew what your mama was going to call you? I'm sorry, name you? Alizé, Mercedes-Benz, all that kind of stuff. Blunt, now they name their kids Blunt. Come here, Blunt. They smoke so much weed, they're like, man, come here, Blunt. God knew that. He knew that. Can you imagine that we serve a God that knows? Watch what he said. For those whom he foreknew. What does foreknew mean? Providence. Go ahead and say, just say providence. Providence. It's a big word. Providence. Beforehand. There you go. That's how you knock it down. You know what I'm saying? Beforehand. So you telling me that God knows before that accident happened, he knew that before? Why didn't he stop it? The reason he didn't stop it is because then he's a puppet. He just knows what's going to happen, and then he gives you the intellect to choose. Watch this. He knew you were drinking. Hello, somebody. He knew all that. He could have prevented it, but for him to prevent it means that now you're boxing God and using God when you want him. For instance, you're drunk and you want God. God, please get me home safe. Please, please. And for the most part, he does. But it's that one time. And then you just mad at God from there on out. You're like, man, shoot, I ain't going back to church. I'm mad, mad. Now you're on probation. Come on, y'all. You know, I like to keep it real 100. For real. You're on probation and all kinds of stuff, and then you mad at God. You mad at everybody. Like, dude, you caused that. You know what I mean? But did you forget all? Can I ask a question to y'all? How many of you got away a whole bunch of times? Come on, don't be shy. Some of y'all ashamed to put your hand up. How many of you got away a whole bunch of times? You should have got caught. Come on, somebody, right? I'm not just talking about drinking. I'm talking about a bunch of stuff, period. Okay? Watch this. And that's his grace. That's his grace. But when we get caught, it seems like you're like, God ain't good. Man, forget God. He's just mad. Watch what he said. He says, for whom he foreknew, watch what he says. He also predestined. So foreknowledge and predestination are two different things. Predestination has to do with his pre-plan for your life. Y'all ain't trying. Don't miss it. Don't miss that what I just said, okay? Foreknowledge means he knew or knows. Predestination means he already wrote the script for your life. I'm saying one more time, for your life. Now the question is, are you going to trust him enough to live according to his purpose, his plan, or are you going to continue to take your life in your own hand? Can I ask you how that working out for you? That ain't working out so good, is it? But if you were to what? Walk according to the predestined plan. Watch the predestination plan. Y'all with me? He says he also predestined to become what? Conformed to what? Let's decode that for a minute. Want me to decode it for you for a minute? Let me decode that thing for a minute. Are you ready? Watch this. Watch this. This is very important. Watch this. This is the most important thing you learn tonight. Watch this. He says that he has foreknew you. He foreknew you. He what? Predestined. The plan's already written, right? Am I right? Huh? Okay. Huh? Then to become what? So this word, conform for a minute. Let me tell you what the word means. It's an important word. The word is where we get, I don't know if you guys ever heard this word, metamorphosis. Anybody know what metamorphosis is? It is changing something to something else. God is in so much control of everything. He wants you to change into the image of his son, so much so he don't want you to be his son. He wants you to imitate his son. But he wants that for you so bad that, and it's such a delicate process that you're not, it's called maturity. It's what it's called. It's called spiritual maturity. But see, for some of us, we're still imitating the image of the world. The world paints a beautiful picture. Man, listen, social media will have you all wrapped up into a world that's not real. God says, I'm trying to get you to become what I have already seen in the past because I'm God. Now, if you want to know what you're going to look like, look at Jesus. And when you conform when you change in character into his image, you will begin to live on purpose. Purposely. Watch what he says. Man, what a beautiful passage of scripture, boy. He says, you will conform to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among what? Many brethren. Now watch verse 30. And these whom he what? Predestined. He also what? Stop right there. See, some of you don't get this. You got to get this. You see, here's the thing. You can run if you want. You could run all you want. If God has called you, you will do his work. You will do his will. No matter how many times you turn your back, no matter how many times you slip and fall, listen, he's predestined you. Let me explain this about predestination real quick. He predestined you to salvation. He knew you would be saved. God didn't waste Jesus' blood on you. You are significant to God's plan. So he predestined a plan. The question is, when will you fall in place? Not only did he predestine you, but then he called you near to him. And the only way that you can get close to God is through Jesus Christ. The only way that you can be called to do anything for God is only through Jesus Christ. Watch the text. The text says, so that those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he what? Justified. Now let me say this to you. The only reason I'm qualified to stand here today is because I've been justified. Let me tell you something. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. But see, God takes imperfect people. I'm sorry. He takes guilty people. He knew the plan that he had for you. He caused Christ to die for you. He predestined you to something great. And then he justified you. He declared you not guilty. Not guilty. You've been acquitted. You've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can now come into the presence of God and lift your hands and sit under the word of God and listen and learn and change and transform and conform to the image that he had in his mind about you. And after it's all over, here's the next part of the text. Look at the next part of the text. After it's all over, that's the doctrine of glorification. Whom he justified, he what? Glorified. You know what glorification means? Here's what glorification means in this context here, in this setting. God is in control. Watch this. When you take your last breath, people are going to be crying. You know, they'll be crying and stuff. But heaven is saying, man, it's time for you to be glorified. It's time for you to come home and get your rewards for what you have been doing on earth. Listen, some people stay out for so long, God been waiting. But in the end of your life, when you are eulogized, what will be said of you? Forget what they're saying on earth. Think about what God is thinking about you in heaven. Because after pain, after suffering, after turmoil, come on somebody, after all the stuff you done been through, in the end, you will be glorified. You will move into what I call glorification, and that can only be achieved when you get to heaven. But I like verse 31, though. I ain't got no more time. What then shall we say to these things? To what things, y'all? What more shall we say to these things? What things, y'all? What things? God causes all things to work together for the good. I've been predestined. He foreknew me. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit intercedes for me. Come on, somebody. I got predestination. I got justification. And finally, I got glorification. What shall we say to these things? Watch this now. If God, the God who's in control, is for us. Man, you better know who's really for you. It's amazing how we gravitate to haters who really ain't for us. Come on now. Come on, let's tell the truth. Now, you gravitate to people who don't give a nothing about you. I'm about to say something else. We give more of our time and they don't care about you. But if God be for us, who can stand against us? You hear me? Who can stand against God's elect? Who can stand against God's children? God is in control, saints. And let me say this. I'm closing. We'll go to verse 35 real quick. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? But who will what? I'm sorry, 34. Who will condemn us? Nobody. But who will separate us from the love of Christ? Let me help somebody tonight. You thinking God is in control because of tribulation, because of distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. None of that. None of that will ever separate you. So stop allowing your persecution and your distress to cause you to become so depressed that you don't think God is in control anymore. Nothing. Let me tell you why he does it. Let me tell you why he doesn't take us out. Love. It's all because he loves you. He is crazy about you. And he loves you so much. You know what I love about God? He leaves us alone and gives us free will to choose him. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise.